Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show for The Deuce. Tonight we are talking about Season 2, Episode 5, and All You'll Be Eating Is Cannibals. We're going to talk about Lori, Red Hot getting our funding, and Big Mike's big plan. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
Nice and punky. Crazy music.
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Felt good. Felt good to get some good punk in there. What's up, guys? Welcome back. We're back with another full panel. Look at that. Two in a row. We got
everyone's
a combo.
Here.
Don't count on it, though. Anyways, everybody, wow, what a great episode, and All You'll Be Eating Is Cannibals. A lot went on. Before we break down into it, I've got my lovely panel here. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Louisa Shar.
Hi, guys. Excited to be here. It's his Farron Osbacher.
Hey, girl. Hey, it's Nakia Monet.
And I am, of course, Nate Miller. You can find me everywhere at Dog Like Nate. And yeah, so let's start with Lori and Cece, how the same way, like, the episode starts, we get this, I don't know how to describe it, this sex scene between them that it's not, it's like clear right away that it's not sexy. It's not like loving or passionate at all. And it really sets up, more of the dynamic that we're going to see for them throughout the episode that they've kind of been hinting at throughout the rest of the season. But what did you guys think about that intro scene and obviously how it plays out with their discussion about Kiki? How did you guys feel about that?
It just portrayed their real life relationship so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him on top of her and so rough, so fast, and just, you know, no cuddling afterwards, no connection. Because in the months prior to all this, in the beginning, they were actually kind of like a couple, right? They would kind of mingle and talk afterwards. But this was just so dry. You can see he just sucked the soul right out of her.
Yeah, I think that initial scene really set it up for the rest of the episode, where we see the parallels between Lori and Cece and the Little Red Riding Hood, which is the porn that Candy is developing. So, yeah, the first scene definitely set up the rest of the episode and probably what's coming up.
I looked at it like a point where you're kind of over someone and you're over the facade and you're over everything that's good because she was so into him. But now that she's living her best life as this new porn star, Kiki has kind of like dangled this new life in front of her. She wasn't into the sex and he was literally just on top of her by himself. And the scene was very interesting because at one point I'm like, damn, does he know? Does he not know?
Yeah.
And he kind of played this back and forth game with her. But you can tell she was so out of it because she's not into him and whatever dreams he's trying to sell her anymore. She's on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I think what you said about the Red Riding Hood thing is a very astute observation. If you look, especially if we go back to season one, when she first arrived, those parallels are there of her coming and thinking that she's getting one thing and actually being led into another thing. But also, I think what we're seeing is her grow, and because of the life experiences she's had, and now she's starting to develop this self-worth, she's starting to realize that it's not okay for her to be treated like this. But at the same time, we are seeing her struggle with coming to the realization of the reality of her situation. And so, of course, the other really important scene with Lori in this episode is her meeting with Candy. We'll talk more about Candy later, but specifically talking about, you know, when she gets up to go to the bathroom and has her moment and delivers this really powerful monologue. Like, this is, to me, this is like great writing. When like they have been building all season, for the last season up to this.
Yeah.
And like, that's why the episode starting how it did, from my understanding, he's been treating her like that for a while. We just haven't seen it. So for them to show it here is really showing this breaking point. I think it's also like her finally seeing it as well.
Yeah.
But as far as that with her and Candy in that moment, how did you guys feel about that? Like, we had just seen, you know, we'll talk more about Candy later, but she did have that moment earlier where she was meeting with the other director lady and she was talking about, you know, them having the dead in their eyes. And she makes the comment about Laurie earlier in the episode. Do you think that she, do you think that like that meeting is like, obviously it changed her mind, but how do you think that played out for Candy witnessing something? Because obviously she was kind of in that situation, but like she said, she went down a different path. Yeah.
You know, I think Laurie just wanted to be saved. I just saw her kind of letting it all out and saying, can you please save me? That's the vibe that I got. I wanted more from Candy. She was so cold towards it. She was holding her and saying, that's the life you chose. But Laurie has no choice right now, because if she does really try to leave at this moment, we all know what Cece is going to try to do. But, and I think Laurie wants the life that Candy has without the struggles that Candy, you know, had to go through. Even recently, having to perform, you know, a blowjob with the $10,000 and all that. I think Laurie just sees, like, the fun and the glam. But I was expecting more of a big sisterly way, like, let me help you get rid of Cece. And she didn't really show emotion.
I don't think it was really, like, I don't think she was cold. I think it was just a scene where you have two women who work in the same line of work. One woman went the route where she said, I will never let a man disrespect me. I'm going to be my own independent woman, where there were some women like that. But then you have the other woman who just gets off the bus, who kind of was just like, sure, put her life in one man's hand and kind of was led down that road. So I think it was kind of cool for the both of them to look in each other's lives and say, for Laurie to look at her and think, like, you're living his best life. And she's like, I'm not, but this is the life that I chose. And for her to let her know, like, my pimp beats me every day. Like, I don't know. Wow.
I think all the women of the Deuce, especially Laurie, are kind of having like an aha moment in this episode. They're having a realization where they're really being controlled by this patriarchy, right? So they're kind of trying to stand up to that, and they're coming to themselves. And whereas I think Candy has already figured it out. Yeah. And that's why she was kind of sitting there looking back like, oh, honey, I figured this out a long time ago. Yeah. And then Laurie said at one point, like, she was looking at her apartment. She's like, you know, kind of looking sad. And she's like, oh, you got nice things. You know, she realized that what Candy had done a while ago was probably the right thing to do, to be on her own and to make a business for herself. And now more than ever, I think Laurie realizes that she needs to get out of these, like, chains.
And I want Candy to give her the tools. That I see that. Maybe, you
know, like
we'll
a big sister.
Yeah, kind of like, this is what you need to do to get out of the situation. Let me help you. Let me book you some roles, get some money, you know? So I'm waiting for that.
I think Candy's also trying to save herself as well. Right. Like, I do think, you know, this is like everyday life with women. Women, we go through this thing where we have some of us in situations where we look on our fellow sister and they're home and they're being abused. And some of us don't understand why they're still staying with that person. And some women on the other end are like, well, I've been down that road and I'm doing what I need to do. I think Candy's also trying to get herself saved as well. But I think they had a really good moment where they connected, and I think Candy just doesn't really understand everything fully, because she's like, well, damn, I was a prostitute. You're telling me you didn't have a choice and I had a choice. So I think maybe as time goes on, she'll open to her a little bit. But I think that was a real reaction, like, sorry.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the characters on this show are really real in the sense that there is no, like, everything is morally gray. Yeah. Like, I don't think that Candy was necessarily being cold as much as she was being true to her character of being a realist. Like, the stuff that she has seen and done herself, there's nothing, like, that little bruise on, that's not going to faze her. Like, it's not like she has a broken jaw. Like, sorry to be crass, but I'm sure that Candy has seen in her years of experience much worse than what, I mean, Ruby died last season. Right.
And Method Man's character, he points out how abused Candy was. Like, how he would try to talk to her and be like, you should let me be your pimp because you were punched in the face. What about that other time when you were choked? So you're right. Like, it's like, I've been through these things. And
I don't think that she's being cold. I do think she is being compassionate. I think that's even why she's having the discussion. I think that's why she's even having her there. But I also think, and this is, you know, because I think Candy is a real character, I think it's a little bit exploitative for her to use Laurie in that way, to know that she's in that vulnerable position, to know that that story of Red Riding Hood is so close to home and that those feelings are real. That's she isn't acting. So I think that's kind of something to consider as well. And I think that I don't think that's just like, you know, some nuance. I think that's important.
You're right. Because right after Laurie had that monologue, Candy sat her down and she's like, all right, I want you to use that fury for your character.
Right. Which and there was no discussion kind of any, right. like, trying to get her out of a situation. So since we're talking about Candy, we'll just go into what she was going through this episode. So she's, you know, moving forward on her movie. We have a title now, Red mm-hmm. Hot.
Yep.
So she's trying to secure funding because she's got some money, but she needs more money because movies cost a lot of money. But she needs even more funding than she thought because she wants to get real actors to make the movie a little bit more credible. And she's, you know, sitting there with Kiki Raines, who is pushing for Lori. And they're talking about trying to, you know, drum up more fun so that they can make the production more realistic. She expresses again that she wants to have a rated R cut so they can, you know, have a crossover appeal, which Kiki laughs, of course, because it's kind of ridiculous. But she's expressing that again that she has this dream. So there's a moment where she's pushing Lori and she's looking at the picture and she says, like, oh, I've considered it. And to me, this was clearly a callback to when the filmmaker said the thing about the dead in the eyes and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm still happy that they still made a meeting, obviously, and they went forward with that connection. But how did you guys, like, did you guys make that connection as well? Does that change the way you think of Candy at all? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
No, because when she said to Lori, like, you know, I actually give a shit about this movie. This is something I actually care about, and I want this to be legit. And you can see the passion that she mm-hmm. has behind it because she's trying to find funding. She's trying to find different vendors. So I think she did have that in her mind mm-hmm. where someone who she looks up to is like, look, don't hire whores. They're dead in the eye. So I think when she first said Lori, she was like, ah, I thought about it, but I know her past. I want to stick with the actor. So I think that's why she invited mm-hmm. her to come down. And then when Lori opened up, she was like, wait, this girl might be onto something. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's how Lori really felt,
right.
you know, but I think she's really passionate about making this film.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys notice that Lori went to Candy's house to audition, but she didn't even audition? Like,
I think that monologue that monologue did it.
It solidified her part.
Yeah. I think she didn't get a chance to, I think it was, was the idea. Also we see Candy having a meeting with another woman who I don't know if we know have a name for. But she did meet with her before. Or?
I think that's the girl who works with them on this movie. Yeah. I just don't
know. Isn't she married to...
No. That's not the wife.
I think because Candy felt like the script is too driven for meeting men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I think, remember last episode, she says to her, she's like, you know, I can help out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Candy kind of laughed at her like, well, mm-hmm. okay, do you know anything? And the girl's like, not really. In this episode, you see her kind of bring her the script and she's like, I don't have any money to pay you. And she's like, oh, I didn't think you were going to pay me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to bring this up because I think this is, again, clear foreshadowing that will lead into something in the future, specifically about the movie. The fact that it is going to be changed from what the average perspective is to a more female-centric perspective, mm-hmm. I think is going to be one of the big selling points of the movie, or whether it successes or fails or whatever. So I think that's really important. Also, so, you know, Candy is looking to obtain this funding, and she goes to the bar to, because that's where you go to ask for money and make connections.
That's where I'm about to go.
And Vincent points her in the direction of Frankie, who just sold the dry cleaner, which we saw last week because it was a nightmare to run. So he's got some cash. So she, you know, kind of comes up and I feel like she kind of finessed him a little bit.
Yeah, she worked it just like a deal, just like a bet. Just like, bet on me, I'm going to work the money out of you. And I think, you know, with every gambler, it's a thrill of not knowing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, this might hit it off, right? So I think that's why he went in for it. And I love the little handshake they did between the fans. And I was watching the David Simon recap of the show, and he said that that was totally improv.
Yeah.
That wasn't even written in the script. So how cool was that?
No, she definitely finessed him because she hit his weakness, and his weakness is money and gambling. Mm-hmm. So she spoke his language when she started speaking about gambling, because he doesn't know what a producer does. He has no idea what's going on. He's like, oh, sure, whatever. When she started speaking and talking to him, was like, look, you've lost this money before. Why not? You can go down in history saying that you were producer of a porn film. So I think she did a really good job. Like, that's why she's so hungry and passionate about this movie. She's willing to get this money, willing to get the movie made, and willing to ask any and everybody.
Yeah, I learned a couple things from her. That sales pitch was tailor-made for a gambler.
Yes.
And she knew what would incentivize him, and she went for it, and she got it. And I just sat back, and I was like, yeah, girl.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. I'm like, sold. You do you. Yeah.
That's awesome. If somebody would have told me that Frankie was going to end up being a producer and a funder on one of the porn movies earlier in the season, I would have been like, no way. So I think it's just really great writing that they're able to bring these characters together for us to get this moment. And for me also, like, I loved Candy so much in season one. I love her in season two, too. Yeah. But I loved how she was able to just, like, turn it on and perform to whatever the situation needed. And it was cool to kind of see a little bit of that old side of her come out again, to just kind of be perfect for whatever he needed to hear. She was saying it to him to get what she wanted.
That was good.
But I think she's going to get upset with Frankie, because Frankie kind of casted his girlfriend in the movie without even, like, discussing. Yeah. I thought that was so
He brought in the other guys from the business.
Made an offer to Big Mike, too. Like, we'll talk about that, too. Last thing I want to talk about Candy, one thing that she mentioned is that the permits got denied at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And her throwing a fit, storming out, saying she's going to do it anyways. So, again, more foreshadowing, them laying the groundwork for stuff that's going to happen. I'm already, like, sad for her. Having been a filmmaker trying to film stuff and dealing with permits and all that stuff, and now she's just going to go do it and then deal with the consequences afterwards.
It's not a good look.
It's going to be rough. So before we move on, we have a lovely word from our sponsors that Farrah is going to share with us.
Hey guys! So our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, we love you guys.
Please. And if you're watching this video, if you're enjoying what we're doing, please give us a thumbs up, give us a like, 5 stars, subscription, share with your friends, tweet at us, all that good stuff. We love hearing from you guys. We want to keep the conversation going. A lot of stuff happened in this episode. I'm going to kind of try to switch to, like, rapid fire and talk about what happened and try to get some opinions, because there's just so many plot lines to get through. But we've got Larry and Darlene. I'm going to group together. Mm-hmm. We saw Larry watching the film, which I cannot remember.
Blue Collar.
Thank you. Classic film. And we're seeing him mimic this character that he's seeing on the screen. And to me, that this is him taking this acting more seriously and getting these dreams and thinking that about, like, what he's going to do with this career. And on the same side, we also see Darlene now getting really tired of still turning tricks after still working, you know, and doing the movies as well and still turning tricks, and to the point of, you know, throwing a fit with one of her regulars because she doesn't want to see the movies while she is tricking.
And she charged him extra.
Right. Which I think that was just her being upset. And that was like, she can't do anything to him, really. Mm-hmm. So that's her way of kind of being like, you know. And Larry's not going to be like, no, here, let me give you your money back. Right. He's going to be like, no, she's right. Like, you know, more money's more money. But also her conversation that she has with Loretta. And it, like, we see that Larry's slacking on his pimp duties, which, I mean, I guess is a good thing. I'm not sure. But in this case, it seems like it's a bad thing because she's getting beat up and nobody is doing anything about it. Right. He's so focused in these movies. So what do you guys think about this? Like, this character, Larry, especially in the last few episodes, has changed a lot in my mind. And I don't know if maybe that's intentional. Like, he kind of was just putting on a show before trying to fit in, or if he really is just, like, changing because he's seeing the writing on the wall. But I think it's really interesting. How do you guys feel about it?
So I think it just basically illustrates how frivolous the role of the pimp in this world is really becoming. It's increasingly becoming less important and less vital. And like you said, I think he's starting to realize that. And he just doesn't care about it anymore. He's like, acting is the way to go. Mm-hmm. And I got my first role, and I'm okay with it.
It's definitely to see him in contrast to, like, Cece or Rodney. Like, they're all kind of taking it differently, and he's definitely one that's taking it way more left than some of the other ones.
It was a little, I don't know if this is the right word to use for a pimp, but it's a little sweet to kind of see him take this craft a little serious, and to see him sit in the movie theater and people who, like, enjoy acting and wanted to be actors to mimic the words of Richard Pryor and to walk the streets and to really be into this and to it's like him and Darlene are kind of teaming up now, where she's on one end getting her GED and mm-hmm. trying to live her best life, and he's on the other end where he's not really making her, like, he's making her trick, but it's not as pimpish, as you can say, where they're becoming more of a dynamic yeah. duo. And the reason I brought that up is because I seen on both of their Instagrams where they were laughing and joking,
right.
and they were in costume, and they're like, the dynamic duo's back, and they have, like, a little relationship name for themselves. So I thought it was a little sweet to see him, like, walking down the street and mimicking his lines yeah. with something that he really loves.
I mean, also, I think the finances are tough for him now. And I think he's only going to have Darlene, you know, pimp and do all her, you know, tricking only for monetary, just to make ends meet. Because I think he's...
I don't know if I believe that.
I think it's really slow. And I think eventually, I think once he books it as a big actor, he might want her to quit. And we also see Darlene really treating him as her man.
Yeah.
That part where the classmate hits on her and they go to lunch together or something, and she makes it clear that, you know, she's not interested. So we see that power couple, I think. But I think with Larry, he's really out of the box now, which I like. He's working on himself.
Yeah.
He's saying, what else can
That's
I do?
That's interesting. I don't see the power couple thing. I think it's, really? I think you're buying into the pimp power lingo. It's easy for him to say, oh no, baby, I just need, you know, we just gotta, like, it's always just a few more, just one yeah. more time, just a little bit. Like, it's, that's not real.
So and how long until she quits?
And even, and I wanted to talk about the date too. Even the fact that she would go on the date with this guy.
Yeah.
I think she likes him. I don't think it's she's like feels for Larry. I think it's more like, I like you. You're a nice guy. I don't want you to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm loyal to my man. It's that my man would like beat you to death or like near death.
Right.
And so I think, cause like, why else would she even bother going all the way out with him? And he, oh man, that guy was so nice.
Really,
I hope we
nice
see
guy.
More of him. I'm really concerned for him cause he is so nice. He just really seems nice. Like the perfect guy to like,
Larry's gonna kill
like
him.
He's gonna be might. Talking to Darlene and he's gonna like find out she's in school or something and walk up yes. and just like, no, don't hit the
but
nice
you know
guy.
What?
He respects
needs,
women.
She needs that in her life. She needs a change. Yeah.
No, for sure.
She's uncomfortable seeing herself on the video.
She knows that I love yeah. Darlene because she, I think she is one of the smartest women on the show.
She is.
Because she, yeah. she's a fully aware of what's going on. She is letting things happen because that's the situation that she's in, but she's making like purposeful strides to educate herself and further herself, not just going and doing another part of the business or doing it independent. Mm-hmm. Like she's trying to get a real job. She's trying to get a degree. She's trying to educate herself. And yeah, I don't know. It's another really scary relationship. It's like it mirrors the one with Lauren Cici. Like
yeah.
again, like we haven't seen violence, but I'm yeah. sure that there is some, you know, Larry's gotten scary a few times
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he has with her.
Yeah. So real quick, Shay is out of rehab.
Yeah.
She shacks up with Irene.
Love that.
Who also helps to hide her from Rodney.
That was great. That was great.
So
love a little lesbian love.
I saw this coming.
Same.
I'm glad that we got more of Shay because they have been kind of dropping her a little bit mm-hmm. here and there throughout the season. I had mentioned a little bit outside before we started, and I would expound upon it here, so now I'm going to expound upon it. The reason why I'm not comfortable with this is because, I don't know, maybe if it was different in the 70s, but now, when you're in recovery, you're not supposed to have relationships because you're a vulnerable person. You're supposed to be working on yourself.
Interesting.
So even outside of that, just the fact that she was just out of recovery and like knowing what she went through and knowing that she can't go, that she really can't go home because Rodney is there and she'll just get hooked again, to then just like kiss her and yeah. then like I understand that in the end it becomes consensual mm-hmm. and that's great, but she's not in the mental or emotional space to really make that consensual decision. And I feel like if it was a guy in that position, that whole scene, people would have been like, whoa, but because it's a girl and she was like pining after her for a while, it's like kind of cute.
Question.
That's my opinion.
Question for you. Do you think she's aware of the dynamic?
I was going to say, I'm like, maybe she doesn't understand.
But the alternative is so much worse, right?
Totally. That's why.
So she's like, all right,
I think it's
do
one
this.
Of those things where this is a girl who had a crush, just happened to have a crush on Shay, but also a woman who likes her, but she wants to save her. Just like if this was a dude. I think sometimes people don't understand the dynamics of recovery and rehab today in the 70s, the 50s, the 40s. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people don't get that sometimes the person They're not supposed to do what they're supposed to be doing. So I think she didn't even look at it that moment. I think she looked at it like, this is a girl who I've been pining after and I have the biggest crush on her. Now she's sleeping on my couch. I kissed her. She may be okay with it. And I think same thing with the guy, where the guy might be like, oh, I just think it's one of those things when if you know better, you do better. But I think she just really did.
I mean, adding to Farrah, I think I look at the bigger picture of things. It can be so much worse if she goes back home to Rodney and just everything, then the cycle will start again.
So now you she's have. She's the lesser of two evils?
No, I know what Nate's saying. She can sleep on her couch, but they shouldn't have a relationship with
each other. That's what I think should have happened. But would she let
her sleep on her couch if there's no.
Maybe as a friend.
I think so.
She would.
And that's what I mean when I don't think that she is like, ooh, I'm going to get her over. I don't think that's what happened. But regardless, I think the behavior is predatory. That's all I'm saying. And makes I think sense. If it was a guy, it would have been an issue. And as much as it's not now.
And Shay did make that comment that she's so over everything.
Right, which I thought was really important.
Yeah.
Dicks are assholes.
Yep.
Yes. If anybody would know, she would know. unfortunately, she's had
a rough time.
She's had a rough time. Poor girl. So we've got our friend Paul, who is losing his mind about creating this club that has to be like the best club with tiles from Africa and all this stuff. goes to the board meeting for the neighborhood, and this lady is like clearly trying to be anti-homosexual, but like trying to be like subtle about it. But everybody knows. And we get this awesome moment from the board member who speaks up. Yep. What did you guys think about that?
I think Paul felt so relieved to have one supporter there. Just listening to him with ease and saying, I've been gay for over 20 years. This has nothing to do with the club being, you know, gay oriented. There's other, you know, issues to tackle, but not based on someone's sexual gender. So I think for me, it just showed that Paul has a little bit of hope that it might pull through.
It was pretty powerful because in that time, gay has been a thing since forever, but in that time, gay people and gay, they were been fighting for their rights for a really long time, especially in the 70s. Everything happened before that in the 60s, so it was really powerful to see another man actually stand up, because back in those times, even today, some people are very scared and they're still closeted. So to have another man stand up and say, look, I'm homosexual, who else here is gay? Like, this, we're going to stand up, we're going to do the right thing. You guys are being super homophobic and it's going to end. And I thought that was dope to be in like 1978 for them to say that, like, yeah, that's what's up. Like, come on, because he needed that support, because that's what the board was trying to do. They were trying to be super homophobic.
I was getting just really angry, like, for Paul, because but specifically because they were arguing, like, I don't think he disagreed with what they were saying about some of the gay clubs around there, but the whole point of his place was to avoid those stigmas and to be a clean place that's just nice and upscale. It just so happens to be a gay club.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he even said, it's not really a nightclub. It's an upscale.
Lounge,
and
he keeps trying to,
like, and
yeah, he's fighting an uphill battle. Yeah, but when you're a 60-year-old woman in 1978, you're like,
of course.
You're like, gay shmay.
But it's just like, it'd be one thing, like, if it wasn't even true and they're like lying, but he even in another episode he was like, I'm trying to get away from this stuff. So he's like I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just trying to tell you this is going to be different, but they don't even want to hear it.
And our chat room,
get him, Paul, get him.
I was very proud of Paul.
Our chat room is amazing. Thank you all for joining. So Tonya Welter said Paul is bugging out, he's spending too much, but big city of dreams. And Adiola, welcome back, Adiola.
Adiola, we love you.
I know, she said, Paul, like Candy, wants to make the biggest and best work for their world. And you want to scream at both of them that it's just restaurant and it's porn and it doesn't have to be the best or even great. So definitely, thanks for that feedback.
Thanks, guys.
So the other big thing happened this episode. We got Big Mike finally got a plot line in his own moments.
He got some. Yeah. It was awesome. Finally, I feel like he needed to release something.
That was a major release.
Yeah, major release. So he plans an inside job.
That was so good.
Literally.
Just gonna keep it rolling. Inside job at the Apollo Lounge. Finds out there's a little gambling game going on. Lots of cash involved. Nobody has any weapons. Somebody can slip him guns, so they walk right in. Job goes smooth as pie. Everybody saw it. A few things I want to highlight when she's talking to his inside man partner is that's where we get our quote from the opening. The all you'll be eating is cannibals, which is referencing to the cannibals in this line are the other criminals. So they're just going to be robbing from other criminals is the idea. So it's kind of saying, it's okay, you're not hitting any innocent people.
They're criminals. Blah, 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 blah. Robin Hood.
I thought that was interesting. But what I think is most important from this whole scene is him involving Rudy Piccolo, giving Tommy that cut and that little conversation they have where they say, well, you guys, you did a job together, made some money. As far as I'm concerned, you're a crew, which in the mom world is a big delineation kind of above just like a bunch of guys doing stuff. To me, that says there's more, much more for Big Mike, especially I'm assuming there's going to be another time skip for next season, but I'm assuming there's going to be much more for him, at least in this season with mob stuff, which I'm excited about. But overall, it just seems like it was exciting to watch. It seems kind of, it was not as important to the overall plot in this like specific episode, yeah, but more like some building for some future stuff.
Kind of a turn on, not going to lie. Just the whole fact that they had that whole conversation just to see how Big Mike carried himself, how he plotted everything out. He planned it, where Rudy was like, okay, cool. He's like, I need a ride. I need this guy. I need Frankie, Black Frankie. Like, we're going to go in. He got in. He did his thing. I was like, that was really hot from the sex scene all the way down to this. And then him counting the money and giving him a share. And he's like, we're good to go. So I love seeing Big Mike getting more lines and being in that role. I loved it.
That was going to be my question. Do you want more Big Mike?
I want more Big Mike.
And Black Frankie, both.
Black Frankie's cool.
Yeah, he's cool, but I want more Big Mike.
Yeah, it was great to see Big Mike get some lines and get more than just escorting people out of 336.
Brian from New York is saying, does Rudy know Big Mike's gay? But no, but then Big Mike is, no, he's probably confusing it with Black Frankie, right?
No.
Black Frankie is the one in the sex scene.
That was Big Mike.
That's Big Mike.
What? That's Black Frankie?
Black Frankie's the little dude from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No way.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Big Mike is the big.
Because Big Mike says, he says, I want to bring in Frankie. And they're like, excuse me. They're talking about Frankie. Then he goes, Black Frankie.
Okay.
All right. So we're getting close on time. So we're going to move this along. Vincent and Abby.
A lot of no's from women.
Yeah. Rough goings for them in the last few episodes. So we see that Alston finally gets a good raid going on that doesn't get tipped off, which leads to Bobby being arrested and plastered all over the media. Now, Vincent had already helped out Abby earlier in the episode, letting them host the clinic there. That was great. That, for me, everything I talked about last episode about being upset with not seeing much from Abby, I got it from this episode of her actually being there and doing the stuff and organizing things. And then, like, when they went to the park, I was like, yes, Abby, great. But after the news of Bobby breaks and everybody finds out more information, Abby starts to ask more questions. And again, this is stuff we talked about last episode too, but they have this discussion of like, well, is this mob-backed? Where do the envelopes go? What's your involvement with the whorehouses? Like, and we see Vincent, I mean, basically, essentially outright lie to her, trying to dodge questions as much as possible. And ultimately, when given the ultimatum of choosing whether banning Bobby because he's involved with this stuff or her leaving, she leaves because he is not going to ban her. And, you know, he later goes to ask Bobby nicely if he's going to leave, and he says, no, F you. So that doesn't work. But it's just a really interesting kind of interaction between the two of them. And like every time I'm like, oh, cool, they're like doing great, like things are going well. And then like something like this happens. I don't know. My question is, how do you guys feel about the relationship with the two of them? Do you want them to be together? Do you not want them to be together? Like, where are you guys at?
They're so different.
I'm kind of on the fence. Like, I don't want them to be together. Yeah. Like, I just feel like she's not the same Abby from when they first met. Girl just quit NYU. She sees this business guy doing his thing. She is now a full-fledged feminist, which doesn't mean you don't have to have a relationship. Yeah. But I think her focus is on other things. And her man is dibble-dabbled in some really bad things. Though Vincent's a really nice person, he's working with the mob. And these are things that she doesn't agree with. She is helping Dorothy slash Ashley with the clinic. And I just feel like she just doesn't... I don't feel the love and the chemistry between them anymore. I feel like it's more like a business.
Yeah, and she was so passionate inside the clinic doing all the things and getting the medicines and everything. So it's like you see her come alive versus her in the bar. And I think eventually a couple is going to grow out. You know, she's like coming like up like this and he's still here with, you know, his mob life and lying to her and also backing up Bobby because he is a family member. And that's just so, you know, not moral. So eventually I think things like that is going to make her so.
And he's still sleeping with other women. Though they have a deal, but she's probably like, I can do so much better. I don't know. Love Vincent. I just, Don't see them so together.
So, Adiol in the chat had a great comment. She said Bobby is a garbage person, but he's right about Abby being a hypocrite.
Yes.
So, that was going to be another question I was going to have for you guys. Do you think that Bobby was right in calling her a hypocrite? Because, I said this last week, and I still stand by it. Like, for her, Abby to have played dumb and so ignorant for so long, choosing to, and then now to throw a fit because she finds out that Vincent is involved in this stuff and Bobby's involved in this stuff, like... She says herself, the girls come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
they all know each other. There. Like, there's...
They have meetings there. The mob is there. When she first met this guy, like, he kind of introduced her to his world. And that's why I was a little confused. I'm like, but sis, he's kind of been showing you these things before.
It's not... And that's, like, he hasn't really changed. Like, the business has grown, but he hasn't really changed. Right. She's changed.
Yeah.
So, to answer my question I posed to you guys, I agree with, I think, everybody agrees that we don't think that they should be together. I don't think that the relationship is really healthy anymore. I think it's naturally kind of growing apart, but they're trying to fight it because, you know, it's comfortable and they're involved and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great portrayal of two characters, especially like the age difference, which they haven't really touched on. I think this is really showing because she was still growing into who she was going to be. And now she is this woman, not this young lady that she was before. And she's not going to let Vincent just kind of walk all over her. Like, she's going to go, no, I'm just going to leave.
Yep.
And I don't know how Vincent's going to handle that. Like, he already had issues with his wife when she was, you know, kind of laying things down.
Yeah, so. And I like how Vincent went over to Bobby and said, you know, you need to leave because I need a few days, you know, peace in the kingdom or something along those lines. I think to show how much he still really cares about her, and it's going to affect him negatively if things do kind of part between them.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that she finally started asking all the questions that we've kind of been wanting her to ask from the beginning. It's like, why are you asking him where these envelopes go? See, you know, in episode 5, like, why didn't you ask earlier on?
You guys are serving drinks to pimps. Like, the girls are in and out. Like he's taking meetings in the corner. It just upset me for her to play so dumb, but I am happy that she is becoming this woman where she's standing up for herself and doing her thing. Yeah.
All right. So, really, really big episode. A lot happened. Really quick, let's just get into some predictions. Anybody have something that they want to share?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV
prediction. I'll start. We'll just go this way. Predictions. I'm just really excited to see where Candy's movie goes. I do think it's going to be bigger and better things for Lori. Because we see Cece is kind of failing now, where he thought that he can even talk shit, excuse my language, to Ashley / Dorothy because he was failing with the Lori situation. So I'm excited to see, like, that relationship kind of tear apart. I'm also really excited to see more of the women rise and be a little bit more independent. That's what I'm hoping for with Abby and Candy and Lori and even my girl Darlene. And I would love to see Larry be in another film. That's my guy right now. I think he's kind of swayed me and I like his character right now. So I'm predicting to see him in more things.
I think there's going to be a lot of glitches with Candy's porn. A, because she doesn't have city permits, and B, with her partnership with Frankie, who's a recluse. And then I'm so excited to see the parallel, more of the parallel between Lori and Cece and Red Hot. And how Lori kind of breaks free more and more. Excited to see that.
Okay, so I see Lori and Cece ending it, but with tough circumstances. It's not going to be easy. I think Cece is going to involve Kiki and a lot of bad things are going to happen. But I do see Lori just spreading her wings and joining Candy in her world.
You were gonna say something. I'm sorry.
Spreading, something, but not, okay. No comment. But spreading her wings. And I see, I want this to happen. I want Darlene to date that classmate. And I just want her to really continue this beautiful self-growth that she's going on with, like, the path that she's on right now. Her self-education, the reading. I want the GED to turn into a college degree and all of that. And then with... Sorry, you know.
It's long. And then
Vincent. And then I want Vincent and Abby to break up.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. I know. Not you. Nate.
There's a lot building... I'm excited to see more of what's going to happen with Alston and the crime stuff and all that stuff. That's finally starting to come to fruition. All the Rudy Pipolo mob stuff is starting to pop off. again, unfortunately, as much as I love Lori, I'm like 99% sure that he's going to kill her.
She's going to die.
I can see that.
I'm pretty sure she's going to do the movie, and like before she gets to go to the premiere or something, he's going to corner her or something. Like, yeah. I hope I haven't spoiled the show if that actually happens.
That's what I'm scared for.
But I'm pretty sure, like, and it's going to be so sad because I love Lori.
Yeah.
Real quick, do we have any news and gossip for this week that we want to touch on?
We do, but I don't think we have enough time.
We have 30 seconds. Go for it.
James Franco is in the news again. Perez Hilton wrote an article about one of his former castmates on Freaks and Geeks. Uh-huh. Accused him of assault. So.
And already five women have spoken. Yes. This is the sixth.
I do want to point out in her, because she's coming out with a new book, and in the book she talks about he didn't sexually assault her, not to take away from everybody else's claim, right. but he physically assaulted her. And he scared her so much, mm-hmm. he pushed her on the floor because they did a scene, and they were acting. He grabbed her arms and was like, don't ever put your effing hands on me ever again.
Apparently she touched him yeah. because it was like in the script and he got upset about that or something.
And then he apologized the day after. Yeah.
I hope it's not true. Unfortunately, in this climate, I am inclined to believe the accuser, especially after so many accusations. Yeah. I'm glad that it's not sexual assault, right. but assault and bullying is bad no matter what. You shouldn't treat people like that. That's the message. Love each other. Love everyone.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you guys enjoyed. We tried to make sure we got through everything. Lots of intense stuff going on with this show. Please tell everyone where they can find everyone on social media.
You guys can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. And Wednesdays, I am on a whole bunch of other shows. Sundays is a brand new show called Reality Check that's coming. We're doing on reality TV. I'll keep that short.
You can find me on Instagram at Farah_Nas_B.
And you can find me at Louisa Shar on Twitter and Instagram. And once again, shout out to our amazing chat family.
And hey guys, again, you can find me everywhere on all social medias at DogLikeNate. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. Please come back next week. We'll all be here talking about our favorite show. Make sure you check out all the other AfterBuzz channels and all the AfterBuzz after shows for all the other shows that we have. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.